Tonight I'm going to, I ran across something I gave back in 2005, I think it was, back there sometime. But it's, it is not my teaching, it's not really a teaching per se. It's about what the enemy's planning for the world, for our families, and for the church. So I really want you to listen intently or read it intently and take it into your spirit, man, and do not forget what you heard here tonight. I don't know why we can feel so free one service and feel so bound up in the next service until you read this. This is going to explain a lot of things about what's going on in the church services, in our homes, in our businesses. So I'm just really asking you to lay aside anything that's distracting to you, and I want you to keep your mind clear and open to receive what God's saying to us tonight. This is by Holly Moody, and she said, as I was praying on April the 25th in 2000, I began to see in my mind a picture of the Lord. He was sitting on a rock, and groups of people of all ages were gathered around him. They all seemed to be laughing and talking together. I felt joy and peace and happiness as I viewed this scene. At times, the Lord would reach down and bring a child onto his lap, or he would reach out and a baby would be placed into his arms. He would then gaze down into the face of the baby and speak softly and tenderly to the baby. At other times, someone would draw close to his side, and he would place his arm around them and draw them closer to him. Now, an angel approached the Lord. The crowd before the Lord parted to allow the angel to draw near to the Lord. A silence fell over the laughing, joyous crowd as the angel stopped before the Lord and began to speak. From the way the angel was dressed, I sensed immediately that this was a warring angel. Being a warring angel and well aware of the coming battle plan of the enemy, he spoke with a strong sense of urgency and even perplexity in his voice. He was very concerned. The angel said, "There is work to be done," the angel said to the Lord. "Why do the people only sit here idly? These are dangerous times. The people should be doing battle in prayer and in the spirit. Instead, they sit here at your feet laughing. They are completely unaware of what is even now transpiring in the courts of hell." With great concern in his voice, the angel asked, "Why are you allowing this?" Now, she says, before continuing the vision, as a sidebar to that conversation, I had the impression the angel and the Lord had been in each other's presence numerous times and had many conversations with one another. What the angel said did not sound disrespectful or challenging at all. I could feel how he was feeling, and it was a genuine question in the midst of such perplexing opposition to come. The Lord gazed with love at the angel before him. "Before I answer your questions," the Lord replied, "take this child of mine and show them what is being planned by the enemy." Talking about the girl, all right? Both the angel and the Lord then turned their heads and stared at me. "This will be too much for her," the angel protested. God said, "Take her and show her," the Lord repeated. The angel bowed his head to the Lord, then turned towards me. I began to back nervously away as the angel approached me. "Where are you taking me?" I asked the angel. "To the enemy's camp," the angel replied. "Go with him," the Lord instructed me. I felt very nervous and afraid, but allowed the angel to touch me. As soon as the angel touched me, we were in darkness. I felt fear engulf me. "Fear not," the angel said to me, and instantly the fear vanished. The darkness seemed to dissipate, and I discovered that the angel and I were in what appeared to be a great court. A man was sitting in a large throne, and before him were gathered all types of creatures and men. This court had the appearance of a cave. When I first viewed this scene, I felt stunned. I'm not sure why. It was like something rebelled in me at what I was seeing. "Who is that man on the throne?" I asked the angel. "And who are the creatures and men gathered before him?" "This is the accuser of the brethren and his armies," the angel replied. I then realized that I was in the presence of Satan. When the angel informed me that this man was Satan, the fact that he was sitting on a throne amazed me. Later, when I prayed about this aspect of the vision, I felt that the Lord said that Satan was trying to copy everything that was God's in heaven for himself. Satan was speaking, and I heard him say, "This will be our strategy." Now, I want you to listen closely to what a strategy is. He then got up from his throne and went to stand in front of a large map on the wall behind him. As I stared at the map, I became aware that it was a map of the entire world. It is very hard to describe this map. The map wasn't actually pinned or hanging on the wall, but it was in front of the wall. But it was like I could see it from all angles, and also I could see like air waves, wind currents, the tides of the seas, and so forth. I could also see the hemisphere around the world, moons, stars, planets, and so on. I really have no words or way to correctly put down the appearance of this map. Satan began to divide the world into sections. Then he called out some names. I saw the creatures and the men gathered before Satan part, and very large and strong-looking angelic beings approach Satan. I saw four of these mighty-looking angelic beings. I could sense the power of these beings and sense the evil and wickedness of that power. A hush had fallen over the crowd. "Who are these beings?" I whispered to the angel who I was with. The angel I was with seemed concerned. "They are Satan's princes." Satan began speaking again, and he was assigning sections of the world to each of these princes. "You will need your armies," Satan said to them. "Choose whoever you will. All is at your disposal." You see this? Everything well planned out. The large beings then began to pick and choose who would be in their particular army. This was by no means orderly. There was a great deal of arguing, bickering, and so on. When they were finished, they all turned back to Satan and stared at him. "Each prince will teach you our strategy to deceive and to destroy and to slay mankind," Satan said. "Go with them." The princes and their armies began to exit from the presence of Satan. The angel and I began to follow one of the groups. They went into what appeared to be a schoolroom. The prince went to the front of the room and began to instruct his army on how to deceive, destroy, and slay the people in their particular section of the world that had been allocated to them. The angel and I then went to each classroom. The same plans and strategies were being taught in each classroom. By the same plans, I don't mean each class was teaching the exact same thing. What I mean is that each class was very thorough in what it was teaching and on how to apply what was being taught. I wish the body of Christ would heed the teachings like the angelic host of hell were heeding Satan's plans. In some of the classrooms, they were studying political leaders. Their families, homes, lifestyles, and so on were being closely scrutinized. I felt very frightened and helpless, very overwhelmed as I saw and heard how very thorough these lessons, for lack of a better word, were. Nothing was left to chance. Every area of these political leaders' lives was being dissected and investigated and studied. Demons were being assigned on how to attack and influence and control each of these political leaders, their families, and even their friends and co-workers. Nothing was left to chance. Nothing was overlooked. The books they read, the radio stations they listened to, and so on. Everything was being discussed. The enormity of all of this was absolutely mind-boggling to me. This also occurred with the religious leaders. It was the religion classes that frightened and shocked me the most. In these classes, religions of the nations were being studied and discussed. Even New Age and occult, Wicca, Tarot, and so on were being discussed. Buddhism, Hinduism, and so on were being discussed. The Bibles and books and other writings for all of these religions were being read and studied. Each denomination of Christianity was being studied. The Bible being studied was a major source of information for these lessons. This was truly horrifying and shocking to me that demons were reading and studying the Bible. And it was all for the intent to twist what was written and to seek ways to misinterpret, misrepresent, so forth, it to the Christians. And isn't that going on? The demons were discussing ways to dilute the gospel. They were discussing ways to incorporate major beliefs from all the religions into one big acceptable gospel for humankind. Some of the demons in these religion classes were ordered to infiltrate churches, were being taken into actual churches, and were watching how the people prayed, worshipped, sang, and so on. They were studying how messages were being delivered to the congregations in numerous churches. They were studying the individuals who were used in the operation of the gifts of the Spirit. These individuals were followed around constantly by assigned demons who watched and listened to everything these people said and did. The friends and family members of these individuals were also studied. The demons discussed ways to drive wedges and so on between those people who were truly being used of God and the people they went to church with, and even how to cause these people's own pastors and spiritual leaders to lose faith and confidence in these people who were used in the gifts of the Spirit. That goes on. That definitely goes on. I felt so angry and frustrated and helpless as I saw and heard how this was to be accomplished and how it had already been initiated in many, many congregations, and how it was largely succeeding. Why does God keep telling us we need to be in unity? And what is it that splits churches? Disunity. And how does this disunity come about? By the enemy. Many of these religious demons, for lack of a better word, were being taught how to sing in churches, how to dance in the Spirit, how to pray and teach. You hear that? I felt at times as if I were going to vomit as I witnessed many demons in these classrooms practicing how to worship the Lord and how to be a Christian. As I was reading this, I thought, I don't know if I want you dancing or not. You know, I do want you to dance, but you understand that. Seeing a demon dancing before the Lord is so awful and so sickening that there are just no words to describe it adequately. Some of these more major demons could also work signs and wonders and even miracles. Some of these demons were also being taught how to be Christ. This was being done by actually studying the scriptures. Seeing some of these demons acting and speaking like Christ shocked me speechless. Seeing them reading the Bible was like an abomination to me. In some of these classes, even UFOs and aliens were being discussed and how to deceive people through these phenomena. There were classrooms where food and dress and slang words, yes, slang word, were being studied. Crops were being studied and discussed. All of this was just so vast, it overwhelmed me. Suddenly, the classes began to leave the rooms. The angel and I followed them. They congregated back in front of Satan. Report, Satan said. How will we deceive, destroy, and slay mankind? One of the princes came forward and began to outline their plans and strategies to Satan. The people want signs and wonders and miracles from their religious leaders, Prince said. We know that our enemy will be and has begun already to grant this unto his children. Amen. That's why, you know, really, think we need not concentrate so much on the signs, wonders, and miracles as we need to concentrate on our walk with God. I know for a fact that you can conjure up signs, wonders, and miracles because I've seen it happen in different churches I've been in. And I know that you can get so fixed on signs, wonders, and miracles that the enemy will come in and he will totally and completely destroy you. He'll get you so sidetracked. And you won't be following God at all. You'll be following the demonic forces of darkness. You know, walking with God is so imperative that we stay close to God and know the voice of God are for ourselves. We will slip in with a counterfeit. This is what the demon said. We will slip in with a counterfeit move and deceive many. We have taught our armies how to mimic worship, praise, and looking and acting like a true believer. We will give unto our armies the ability to work signs, wonders, and even miracles. But while all become focused upon these outward manifestations, others of us will begin behind the scenes to dilute the message of the gospel. We will accomplish this partly through speaking to the people about God's true nature. We will allow the people to create God into what and who they want him to be. Amen. Good, Satan said. Very good. The prince began to speak once again. When the people have created their own version of God, then we will give them our God. The crowd before Satan began to cheer wildly. We must depart, the angel urged me. So some churches say God's only a loving God. You know, and other people say God's, you know, a chastening God. You know, they don't put all the aspects of God together. They separate and divide the different aspects of God, and then they preach on that one aspect and leave the others go. And so you're not a well-rounded Christian. You're off balance. Suddenly we were back before the Lord. He was still in the midst of his children, laughing with them, talking to them, touching them. A silence fell over the group once again as the angel I was with once more approached the Lord. The angel reported to the Lord all we had heard and seen in hell. The angel was very concerned and distressed, asking, "Why are you just sitting here with the people? Why haven't they been sent to begin battle? How will they be able to discern this coming great deception if they aren't even aware that one is coming?" The Lord became grave. His face, as he looked at his children, was alight with his great love for them. I noticed tears in his eyes. Then he turned his head and looked at the angel speaking with him. "My children will know the false by knowing the true," the Lord said. "The longer they spend in my presence, the more they will know my voice when they hear it. A voice of a stranger they will not follow." "But the enemy has those who have been taught to speak just as you do," the angel protested. "They sound almost just like you." "Almost," the Lord replied gently. "Almost they sound like me. Only my sheep who have lingered long in my presence will know the voice of their true shepherd. And this is why I spend so much time with my children. I spend as much time with them as they allow me to. I know very well what the enemy is planning. My plans are plans of love and fellowship." See why God's been telling us to come deeper and closer into him, even to come up and visit him in the third heaven? Because he wants us to know him intimately. I can tell you that Satan will talk to you and you will think it's Jesus, but he'll use one word that'll throw the whole thing off. If you really know the voice of God, you will know when Satan is trying to deceive you into believing it's Jesus speaking to you. The angel and the Lord both fell silent as they gazed at the crowd before the Lord. "Love them well," the angel replied. "Yes, a battle was coming," the Lord sighed, "and I saw tears in his eyes. Great wickedness and persecution upon my children, my true children who know my voice. A time of wickedness and persecution such as never been seen or experienced. Yet in the midst of it all, I will move, I will bless, I will speak, I will love, I will win." God goes on to say, "There are those of my children who sense much of this. They are the ones who will never stop praying and interceding, not even in times of seeming peace." "What about me, Lord?" I asked. The angel and the Lord looked at me. "Pray," the Lord replied. "Tell the prayer warriors to strengthen themselves and their brothers and sisters in the times of peace. I will be pouring out of my spirit upon all nations and peoples. It will spread to even the most unlikely of places. Television, magazines, newspapers, radios, even the internet. And it will be here that the battle will truly begin and the deception begin. And that has already begun." The Lord stood up. "It is time," the angel asked him. "It is time," the Lord replied. Then I was no longer with the Lord or the angel, but praying once again. John 10 is in my mind, especially verse 14. "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of mine." Now, the church is not aware, that most of the church is not aware of the fact that Satan has his court in hell. Satan gathers his demonic beings into that court, and he gives them instructions. But the majority of the church does not understand that the reason why we have problems in our services is because an angel has been assigned, you know, a demonic angel has been assigned to this church to destroy it and take it down. And you're sometimes you wonder what's going on in my home. It's because that demonic angel that's been assigned to destroy you is wreaking havoc in every area of your life. And he's trying to get you to get into doubt and unbelief. He's trying to get you to question, did God really say, is God really going to do? That's what he was taught. That's what these demonic angels are taught in the courtrooms of hell. And whenever you're trying to get free from a bondage, the enemy knows you. Like I said, he studied you. He knows all about you. And he's going to keep pressing at you and pressing at you until he destroys you. Now, you're going to have to fight him. You're going to have to push back. You can no longer just sit by and just say, well, God, you'll do this thing. No, God is not going to do this thing. You must fight like you've never fought before. You have to fight for yourself first. You have to fight for your family. You have to fight for your spouse. I don't care if you're both in church or not. You have to be fighting for one another. You have to be keeping each other covered. Somebody has to be keeping you covered. And so God expects us to keep our spouses covered, our children covered. He expects us to keep our church covered. And one thing God was speaking to me the other night, and it's so true, our prayer meetings have dwindled down to nobody. And we used to have as many in prayer meeting as we had in church services. And now everybody just sits at home. They don't bother coming to prayer meetings anymore. And I think that's sad, especially when intercessors don't come to the meeting. Well, there's only just me there. Well, you know, okay, it's only just you and probably 10,000 angels. You know, and that's one thing this church must do is build up the Tuesday night prayer meeting again. And see, the enemy worked hard at getting it closed down because we had powerful meetings in our Tuesday night prayer meetings. And, you know, God even came and did signs and wonders all the time in the Tuesday night meetings. But now, I think there's one or two that show up, period. And that can't, now you guys are traveling a distance. I don't expect you to be here, but I expect the ones that are close to be here and to be praying, interceding for the church. You know, why do you think the services get bound up so much? Because there's not enough praying for the services, like on a Tuesday night. You don't take a special night and pray. I know when I first came on the scene and I was going to different churches, listening to different speakers, I found out that they had a room, you know, because they had big churches, they had a room where people would come and just sit and intercede during the whole service. They would be there for the service start. They would intercede the whole service and didn't quit until the service was totally and completely over. They didn't have to be part of the service. They were part because they were intercessors. Well, we don't have that. We have the devil interceding downstairs. We have the devil interceding upstairs to stop the anointing in between. But we don't have anybody interceding to stop what's going downstairs and stop what's going upstairs. Do you understand that? Or even around about outside. You know, people go out there and they're out there smoking and going on when they should be sitting in the house of God. So the demonic influence is around the building, above us and below us. So I think we do really good considering what's going on. Then you have inside people lusting, you know, and all kind of junk going on. And I think we do rather well with all the darkness that we fight in here. What goes on in your home? The same thing goes on in your home. And if you're going to give in to the temptations of the devil to go into doubt and unbelief and fear or whatever you want to call it, I mean, the devil's going to wreak havoc. He's just going to fight all the harder. Do you ever stop? You look driving your automobile. Do you know? Do you really cover yourself when you're driving? Do you really put the warring angels to go before you and clear the road so that whatever the enemy has planned for you won't ever happen? You should be doing that. That I know that's why a couple times that I, you know, should have been in accidents and been killed. It wasn't because I had already sent the angels before for myself to clear the road of anything that the enemy was trying to destroy me with. We need to start fighting for ourselves. We need to start doing what needs to be done. And you need, if you have somebody in your car, you need to pray to plead the blood of Jesus all over them. Wrap them in a blanket of blood. You don't know what the enemy has planned for you. You really don't. And just like when you're on the street, you need to keep yourself wrapped in that blanket of blood. And you just need to tell your angel, you stay really close to me. Don't let anything get between me and you. Right? Because the enemy has us all planned out. You heard what they don't leave anything to chance. Christians don't do that. We're about the most wishy-washy bunch of people I've ever seen. We are not, and I'm not talking about everybody now. The shoe fits, put it on. But the body of Christ has failed thus far because we do not do our part to the fullest. And the reason why we're fought so terribly hard is because the enemy knows we're lazy. Remember, God always talked about quit being lethargic, you know, and do what you're supposed to do. We're a lazy bunch of people. We'll watch TV. We'll watch, you know, get on our computers, do whatever, you know, but we won't spend a lot of time praying. We don't spend a lot of time, you know, covering whatever needs to be covered. And the enemy has free access into our lives continually. Now, as the darkness grows darker, this kind of stuff's going to be darker. How many of you, God has said Satan has thrown everything he has in hell at you and he has nothing else to throw at you? I know God's told me that a couple of times. You know, Satan has nothing else he can throw at you. He's thrown everything he has at you. Why was I going through the things I was going through and thinking about yourself? It's because Satan was continually throwing things at you, trying to destroy you. Did he accomplish anything? Did he make you weak? Did it sometimes you want to give up? Think about this. Don't you think that angel has been, that demonic dark angel has been assigned to you to follow you around with his darkness, constantly whispering in your ear all kind of junk? Yes, he has. According to this and according to what God has told us before, and he's even told me about things that's going on in my own life and in my own home, there's an angel assigned to destroy me. There's an angel. If you're working for God, there's an angel of darkness assigned to you to destroy you. Think about that. Now, you also have an angel assigned to you from heaven to keep you safe. Which angel are you going to allow to win out? You know, like God told us right up front, this is a tug of war. God has one of your arms, Satan has the other, and they're both wanting to have your soul. Who are you going to allow to win? You are the one that's deciding how this tug of war is going to end. Only you. Not Jesus, not Satan. You. Jesus wants one thing for your life. Satan wants something totally different for your life. And what do you want for your life? And you young kids, I don't care how anointed God says you are, you could lose that anointing in a split second. I'm trying to tell my children, you got to watch the music you listen to. Because that's how Satan lures the young people, right? It's through the music that they listen to. So you just can't listen to anything. You have to make sure you listen to godly music, anointed music. And sometime right now, it's hard to tell which is godly and which is worldly. you know, it just is. But we have to be walking really close to God right now. I'm hearing God say the fires are getting hotter than ever to destroy his family, you know, God's family. And if that is the case, because he just said it, then you have to be stronger still than you were just yesterday. Just because you fought a good fight yesterday doesn't mean there isn't another one today or tomorrow or the next day. The devil's going, yeah, God did tell me, though, there is coming a day and time real soon where we won't have to fight these battles. you know, God's true children who have been through the furnace of affliction, who have been through your trials and tribulations. There is coming a day real soon when we won't have to fight these things anymore, because God has covered us, and he is covering us and has covered some of us, because we need to be free to just do the works of the Father. We can't no longer be fighting the enemy and do the works of the Father, because things are going to be really bad. So you can be encouraged in the fact that one day the enemy's finished with you. God has said enough. And God's told me the enemy's finished with you. Enough is enough. You have a works to do for me. So each one of you need to think that, okay, so I'm going through a battle right now. And I'll probably go through a battle tomorrow and the next and next day. But one of those days, God's going to tell the enemy, you're finished. And he's going to cut Satan off from us. All right? All right, just like that one time when the enemy was, you know, God told me to, I was trying to lead somebody out of sin. And I was pushing him. And God told me, don't allow him to look back. You can look back, but don't allow him to look back. And when I looked back, Satan, who was a real gorgeous woman, fell to the ground as a snake and then stood up as a man. And God had placed a glass division between me and the enemy, and he was beating on the windows, on the glass, saying, I'm going to kill you. No, he wasn't. God stopped him right there. Then I was able to get that man out of that situation he was in and keep him from being overtaken by that enemy. But see, what I'm saying is God intervened. God had me go with this man. God had me do everything I did. And when the enemy was that close to grabbing me and tell me he's going to kill me, God put a glass between me and him. Are you understanding this? God's going to send you on missions that are really going to be dangerous missions. But you don't have to fear, because God will not allow the enemy to touch you if you're on an assignment for him. God, I'm hearing God say you're in a groove with him. Stay there. Don't allow the enemy to take you out of that groove. And he's saying your walk is going to be dangerous sometimes, but he will always have protection there to protect you. All right? All right, let's just say God sends you out on the streets for all the drug addicts and everything, like everything that's going on right now. What if God sends you on the street to go, you know, free somebody? You don't have to go in fear, because if God is sending you there, then he already has protection set up for you. All right? And I'm hearing God say, some of you sometimes think, well, I'm going to quit. Well, the quitting's there. You know, everything's fine. I'm just going to quit right now. God said that doesn't work with the enemy, because he never quits. You know. So where are you at with God is what God's asking you tonight. Where are you at with God? Do you really understand there is a hell? There is a courtroom in hell, and Satan's continually instructing his demons, just like God is continually instructing his children. We know that Satan has imitated everything that God has. Do we understand that? As you look around the world, you can see that. It's not something that's hid. It is there. And, you know, with families, God's telling me to tell you, families in here, you have to keep pressing forward. You can't stop right now, because the enemy's working hard at trying to destroy your families. So you're going to have to be stronger than the enemy is, and you are. You have all power and authority. You are stronger than the enemy. But are you knowing that and believing that 24/7? Just like I said, I wasn't worried about Basley, because I know I have more power and authority than any demon in hell. And, all right, so what we know about Basley is that he's fighting us harder than he ever has during his little season. And that doesn't mean he's going to win. That means we just fight back harder, right? We push back harder than him, than he's pushing on us. Now, when you're out there, are you really, you know, God said this morning that you were ready now to be sent forth. So if you're ready to be sent forth, and you are because God said so, are you going to be able to go out there and explain what's going on in hell to people to help them understand what's going on in their life so that they can learn to fight also? And I am hoping that with what God said to us this morning, we understand that our children are where they're at because of us. And we have to quit blaming everything on them and on the devil, but it's because of us and our anointings. And because we were ignorant, didn't understand that, we gave Satan a little bit of help in destroying them, you know, pushing them down. But now we know better, so now what we're going to do is we're going to take our children back, right? And we're going to tell the devil, devil, that's my child. I don't care what they look like. I don't care what they sound like. That's my child, and I repented to God for letting you have them, and I'm taking them back. And that pea-field thing always comes to my mind. You're not taking my pea-field. And, you know, we need to really be so strong in our convictions right now in our walk with God that the enemy can find no way into our lives, none whatsoever. You can't allow bitterness, you can't allow hate or discord or anything like that be any part of your life, because if you do, then you have a door open for Satan to walk through and do what I'm hearing God say, to devour. What is yours? And I'm hearing God say, you're on the main line. And whatever you need from God, he wants to give you. Are you ready to receive what he wants to give you? This is what you have to ask yourself. Am I really ready to receive the deepness of what God desires to give me? And God saying, quit allowing the enemy to push you around. And I think we've all been guilty of that, haven't we? You know, we've allowed the enemy to push us around because we didn't quite understand, you know, what was going on in hell. Don't ask God to take you to hell to prove that hell is real. It's real, I can tell you that. I haven't quit asking God to take me to heaven. I don't even want to go to heaven no more. I just want to do the work that I'm told to do here in this earth. And one day I'll see heaven when it's God's perfect timing. You know, we can get so fixated on something that we lose direction. And we just need to just be. You know, like God, just be. Be my servant and be what I'm calling you forth to do. Tonight in here, there's some of you that aren't quite steadfast in your walk with God. You know, you don't quite understand the workings of heaven. You don't quite understand the workings of hell. And therefore, you're not quite steady on your feet. And what God wants to do tonight is to come and touch you in a way that you'll know that heaven is real, that hell is real. And when he touches you, he's going to give you anointing to be able to see the darkness when it looms wherever you're at. And what I'm seeing is, like if you're sitting in church, he's going to let you see a dark person. You know, really see them for who they are. And even in your home and in your workplaces, even walking the streets, you're going to start seeing what is demonic and what is real. Now, are you really ready for God to open up your eyes to that degree? Where if you know, he shows you a demon sitting in the house of God or, you know, walking the streets, that it won't blow you away, that you'll be, I'm hearing God say, you'll be true partakers of the heavenly giftings. And if you really want that, then and God wants you to come up tonight, and he really wants to give you that anointing to walk in that. It's a new realm. And he said, doubt and unbelief has no place in this new realm that he's given us tonight. It's total security in him, knowing that he is well able to reveal all things to us. You're going to need this anointing, guys, to further your walk with God. The enemy has deceived the body of Christ too long, and it's time deception is torn out of us, and all we see is total and complete truth. You know, I'm told it overseas, the demons just walk the streets very freely. And the people over there know there are demons, and America needs their eyes open to this manifestation also. And you know, our young kids should desire that God touch them in a way that they will be able to see demonic beings also, and not blow them away, but let them see demonic beings so they understand the dark world. This anointing, God's saying, tears asunder all of hell's kingdom.